Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
For the last several years, I've lived a normal life in the city. It's where I stayed pretty much all day, every day. I owned a condo just a couple miles from where I worked, so everything was very convenient, and there was no reason to leave the area. This week, however, I had a couple issues with my condo that were starting to really bother me, and hiring someone to fix them would have been way overpriced. But I had no tools myself. So to save as much as possible, I went on Craigslist to see if anyone was selling some secondhand toolkits. It was about time I get one anyway. Surprisingly, there were a ton. Some were worse deals than others, but I just needed some basic stuff, so I kept looking until I found something that seemed decent.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A lightly used toolkit with everything I needed for a respectable price. I sent an email, and within just 15 minutes, we were set to meet up. The guy said that I could come by his place and pick it up tomorrow whenever I was available. I worked until 7, but I usually like to stay up anyway, so I was good with it. His address was pretty far though, at least for me. It was 45 minutes outside of the city, in a very small town that I somehow had never heard of. On the satellite view of maps, it looked like just 100 or so houses clumped up in one area. Come the following day after work, I made the drive out of the city. The roads were pretty empty, and honestly kinda nice once I was away from all the buildings. It was well past sundown when I started getting close. It looked like mostly wooded areas, with just a few gas stations and shops around. The neighborhood I pulled into was sketchy to say the least. All the houses were mixed in with the forest, and they were clearly very old. They looked like they had been there for over 100 years and really hadn't had any renovations. Some looked abandoned for sure. This had me a little put off as I continued through the wooded road and finally got to the address the guy sent me. It looked no different than all the rest of the homes, small, old, and barely standing. Although I felt a little uneasy about this neighborhood, it was in the back of my mind that I was very much from the city and wasn't used to places like this, so I thought it might have not been as bad as I was making it out to be. I parked on the end of the driveway and stepped out. Right away, I noticed how quiet it was. It was so quiet that it felt unnatural. No people outside, or sounds coming from any of the houses, or even cars driving by. Just dead silence. I walked up to the house and knocked on the door. As I stood on the porch and waited, I had this strange feeling that made me keep looking behind me, but after a minute, the door opened. The guy that answered was about average height, with longish brown hair and an unkempt beard. He definitely didn't look the most put together. He showed me inside and over to the living room, where, sitting on the couch, there was a thick tool bag holding all the tools that he was selling. One thing that made the whole situation feel more eerie was that there were basically no lights on in the house. There was only a single lamp in the living room that barely produced anything more than shadows. Also, as we walked into the living room, I noticed the back door by the hallway was hanging on its hinges, like completely broken in the doorway leading outside. I didn't exactly know what to look for when it came to the kit, but honestly, I just wanted to pay for it and leave. I pretended to look through it, but just pulled my cash out and turned around to hand it to him, when I noticed he wasn't there. The room was empty. Where the hell did this guy go? I called out for him, but the house was extremely quiet. There were slight creaks coming from the walls and floors all around the house, but I couldn't tell if it was just the old house settling or not. I felt my adrenaline spiking. I think my gut knew this was really bad. I called out one more time for him as I slowly made my way back to the front door, leaving the tools behind. Just when I got into the hallway, though, someone was standing there. It was a different guy. I couldn't see him well because he was standing in the shadow, but I could tell he was noticeably taller and wider than the other guy.
"I was just heading to my car to grab some money, if that's all right,"
I said casually, hoping he'd just move out of the way and let me go. He didn't answer. The way he was standing was like he was intentionally blocking the hallway. I stood there trying to think of what to do, but just a second later, I heard a creak to my right. I turned my head. The room beside me was pitch black. If I had to guess, I think it was the kitchen, but it was honestly so dark in there that I couldn't tell. Somehow in that moment, my survival instincts just kicked in, and I sprinted to the broken back door I remembered seeing. As I ran out of the house, I heard several loud creaks that definitely sounded like footsteps running behind me. Thankfully, the house didn't have a fence, so I was able to just run right around and back to the front. As I was running back up to my car, someone jumped out from behind it and started running away. I didn't know what they were doing, but I knew I had to leave, so I just unlocked it and got in, then floored it out of there. I was still under the adrenaline rush for a while after that. I'm pretty sure there were multiple people in that house, and that one of them was trying to either break into my car or prevent it from running so I couldn't get away. I can't say exactly what they intended to do, but if I didn't get out when I did, I'm not confident I ever would have. This wasn't all that long ago. It actually wasn't until after this happened that I even knew about the horrible encounters other people also had on Craigslist. I always thought it was relatively safe, so long as you were cautious enough. Apparently, I didn't follow my own rules, though. This was during the first month that I moved into my new home. It was a pretty long move across the country into a relatively new area for me. I sold almost everything before the move, so for the first little while, I would casually scroll through Craigslist whenever I was bored, hoping to find anything I might need. Mostly furniture, or just things to make the house feel less empty. Before this, I'd actually already found a few things on Craigslist and picked them up and had no issues at all, so I really didn't have much reason to be nervous. One night after work, I happened to scroll by a post of a fairly nice looking couch. It was almost perfect to what I was hoping to find. A gray sectional sofa that was apparently in great condition, and it was all for a decent price, $200. The guy responded pretty quickly. His name was Brian, and from the text, he seemed like a chill dude. We agreed on the price and started figuring out the plan to meet up. The big issue was that I only had an SUV. It could maybe fit one section of the sofa at a time, and he lived in the next town over, so I'd have to drive there and back multiple times just to get the whole thing to my place. When I mentioned that I didn't have a way to pick up the whole couch at once, he kindly offered to use his pickup truck to drop it off at my place. Of course, I ideally wanted to see it in person before buying it, and didn't feel too comfortable with giving some random guy my address, but it was just so much more convenient and made a lot more sense to do it this way. And he wasn't pushy or weird about it in any way at all. He genuinely seemed like he was offering a solution. So after a bit of thinking it over, I agreed. We were set for him to swing by my place at 5:30 on the following day. I went to bed early, and in the morning I sent him my address, then spent the rest of the day cleaning the other rooms of the house. Once it got closer to 5:30, I stayed in the living room and watched TV, leaving the blinds partially open. Almost at exactly 5:30, I saw headlights coming down the road. A few seconds later, a black pickup truck slowly passed by. As they did, I noticed that there was no couch in the bed of the truck, so I figured it was just a neighbor or something, and continued waiting. However, just a few minutes later, that same truck passed by again. It was really strange the way they slowed down, like they were looking at my house, or maybe even through the windows, as they were passing by. Kind of just gave me an uneasy feeling, but I still figured it was nothing. I sent Brian a text, making sure he was still on his way, then continued watching TV. After I sent that text, I didn't see any more trucks passing by outside. Even more strange, though, was that Brian never texted me back. He never showed up or even updated me on anything.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
At 6:30, an hour past when he was supposed to be here, I sent another text, only for it to not go through, meaning that he blocked my number. I didn't know what went wrong, but overall, I wasn't too concerned, and more just bothered that he wasted my time. Maybe he found someone else who'd pay more, or something else came up, and he just didn't want to deal with giving me the bad news, so he ghosted me instead. It happens, I guess. As it got later into the night, I was mostly over it. I had dinner, set up my office room in the house, and chilled in bed watching YouTube for the rest of the night. I don't even remember falling asleep. I think I just passed out in the middle of a video, but I'm pretty sure I was out for at least a couple hours. I woke up in the middle of the night to a really unsettling sound. It was a long wooden creak, which I was absolutely sure was the front door creaking open. I knew it because it always bothered me, being the only squeaky door in the house. But who the hell just opened it? I sat up and stared toward my bedroom door as I listened. I could hear subtle footsteps moving into the house below me. I probably wouldn't have been able to hear them if not for the echo of the empty home. I felt myself start to panic, but I remained still, almost stuck in place. The footsteps seemed to stop as they reached the bottom of the staircase. Several long seconds of silence went by before a man's voice called out. Not just anything, though. He was calling out my name. His voice was deep and sounded like an older man, but I didn't recognize it as anyone I knew. He called out my name again. Disturbingly, there was no emotion behind it. He was monotone, just saying my name over and over from the bottom of the stairs, like he knew I was up here. I quietly reached for my phone to call 911. I was extremely scared that he'd hear me talking to the operator, but honestly, I felt like I had no choice. I whispered as quietly as I could. The man still stayed at the stairs, calling out my name. Once the cops were on the way, I moved from my bed to my closet. I didn't know if the man was actually going to come up to look for me or not. Clearly something was wrong with them, so I wasn't taking my chances. Only 30 seconds after I moved into the closet, though, the man's voice stopped calling out. From the closet, I couldn't really hear anything else, like footsteps or doors, so I got really anxious, unsure where he was, or if he could be right outside my bedroom right now. Fortunately, in a couple minutes, officers arrived. The house was empty. Whoever that guy was that came in, he was gone. I immediately told the officers about the Craigslist situation because I was sure it had to be Brian. I mean, I'd just given him my address that day and saw that truck suspiciously passing by earlier. I still had his phone number, so I felt confident they could track him down. But there were a few problems. When my messages weren't going through, it turned out it wasn't because he blocked me. It was because that number no longer existed. It was a dead line. There was no way to trace it back to him. And the second issue is that even if we figured out who he was, there wasn't any way to pin him for being the one that broke in. Still, I'm almost 100% sure it was the guy from Craigslist. I wonder if maybe he was planning to have me, or whoever responded to his listing, go to his place, where he was more prepared to do whatever it was he was trying to do. But for some reason, he thought he could still follow through with it at my place by breaking in. Maybe he overestimated himself. I really don't know. It's also really strange that he stayed downstairs and just called out my name. Anyway, the cops said it looked like he picked the lock on my front door, so I replaced it and installed a camera. I didn't really have the option to move, so I'm trying to take any precautions necessary. Nothing has happened since. Every once in a while, I find myself looking through sites like Craigslist, eBay, and other similar ones for random things I might want or need. It was kind of like online thrifting, just something fun to do, and sometimes even got me great deals on stuff I wouldn't have bought otherwise. This was in 2018, so a pretty long while ago. I had found a few things on Craigslist that I was interested in. The listing showed a bin full of home decor, like candles and picture frames and just cute decorations for around the house. My apartment was pretty bare bones, so I thought a bunch of random decorations could liven up the place. I messaged the woman, April, and she was super kind. Basically, she said she was moving and wanted to sell off all the stuff she didn't want, or thought might break during the moving process. Her goal was just to get rid of it all, so she didn't mind selling them for dirt cheap. She said for 20 bucks, she'd be happy to let me pick out whatever I wanted, or even everything, if I wanted all of it. We agreed to meet at a nearby parking lot after she got out of work at 6 on a Thursday night. I got out of work at 5 that day, so I just went straight there from the office. The place we agreed on was a parking lot for a grocery store, which was pretty busy around that time. There were a bunch of people coming and going. I texted April what my car looked like and where I was in the lot, then just waited. It was the middle of winter, so I had the car blasting heat and was hoping she'd get here sooner rather than later. But I got a text just a few minutes after I got there, saying she was getting out late and was hoping I could possibly meet up closer to her. Obviously, this was a bit frustrating, but she seemed really sorry, and if it ended up saving both of us time, then I guess it wasn't too big of a deal for me to drive a little bit more. April sent over the address to another parking lot that was closer to her, so I just put the address into my GPS and started driving there. I hadn't been over to that side of town very much, so I wasn't sure exactly where it was taking me. The drive was about 15 minutes. Even though it was only about 6:30 when I got there, because it was winter, the sun had already set, and it was fairly dark out. But what made it even more dark was that all the buildings in the parking lot had their lights off. Essentially, it was a small lot for an outdoor strip mall, but it was empty, and nobody was there except for one car parked on the far edge near the end of the parking spaces. Something felt off about it as I pulled in. April mentioned she had a red Toyota SUV, which was the one car that was parked over there, so I drove over and parked just a few spaces away. The contrast between the busy public parking lot she chose before to now this deserted, empty lot was really strange. I told myself I'd just see how it goes, since I was already here. And if anything makes me feel too weird, I'd dip out. I got out and stood by my car, waiting for April to get out as well. I realized as I stood there, I couldn't see into her windows. They were maybe tinted, but also the lighting made it difficult to see through. But while I was standing out there in the cold, I started to feel increasingly less comfortable. I was only out there for maybe 15 seconds before I was about to decide to get back in and leave, when their door opened. But a man got out. He looked like he was in his 30s, with dark hair and a heavy, tan winter jacket. He quickly explained that April couldn't make it and was held up at work still, so he was here to give me the stuff from Craigslist. I thought this was super weird and that I would have gotten a text if that was the case. It felt like that information was hidden from me until I'd already showed up. In my hesitation to respond, he also mentioned that because all of the hassle, he'd let me take everything for free if I'd like. He smiled as he opened up the trunk and stepped back, motioning for me to come over and look. I didn't exactly know the best way to leave, but I was sure I was not going to go over there. Maybe if this were all in a more public place, I'd be less skeptical. But out there, where nobody else was around, I was really unsettled. I quickly started going back into my car. As I said, I was just going to call April really quick, just to make sure. His smile faded as I walked back and got my car. I opened my messages, then called April's number. A few seconds later, the muffled sound of a phone ringing came from outside. I looked over. He slowly reached into his pocket and ended the call. My stomach dropped. In an instant, he started hurrying up to my door as I turned my car on and sped out of there. I was almost sure that this was all a setup, and there never was anyone named April. It was likely that man behind it the whole time, just pretending to be an innocent woman selling decor in hopes to lure in other girls like me. I can only imagine what would have happened had I gone over toward the open trunk of his car. After that night, I called my sister to talk about what happened, and she told me to call the police. So I did. However, since nothing really happened, and there's technically no crime for pretending to be a girl named April, although suspicious, they couldn't do anything about it.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
To me, it's very clear this was a setup that likely had horrifying intentions behind it. I really just hope nobody else fell for it.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.